Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
As you get to your seat, do me a favor. We're jumping right in because we got so much more worship for you. I want you to shout the title of this message to your neighbor. Pretend you're up here preaching. Shout it to them like you mean it. I know you don't know what it means yet, but you will. Shout this to them. Set a fire. Oh, come on. Say it like, make the fire department worried tonight. Say, set a fire. Woo. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to set a fire tonight, a Holy Spirit fire, the best kind of fire, the fire that can change your life. And it all starts with the one thing that actually can change your life, the Word of God. So we're going to jump right in. One verse is coming up on the screen. John 10:10. I am so thankful for this verse. It says this: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I... Jesus Christ, his words, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Anybody in this room want abundant life tonight? You don't want a halfway life. You want abundant life. Y'all, the devil is a liar. The devil is a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God sent his son to earth to do something entirely different, to give you eternal life, to give you abundant life. And I want to talk about something tonight. I want to talk about, especially this time of year, I feel like every year this time of year, it becomes something that happens to all of us. I want to talk tonight about the main thing that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that thing is your joy. He comes in like a thief in the night and he tries to steal your joy. And it's almost Christmas time. This is the season we're supposed to be happy and joyful and filled with thanksgiving. But he comes in and he tries to steal your joy. And let me tell you something about joy, River. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the followers in the world. You can have all the success and the titles and the status of this world. But if you don't have joy, you got nothing. There are a whole lot of miserable billionaires in this world. If you don't have joy, my friends, you have nothing. And the enemy knows this trick. So he will come into your life and try to steal your joy. So do me another favor. I'm an interactive preacher. Would you shout, devil? Oh, make them a little scared. Come on, Pentecostals. Shout, devil. You can't steal my joy. You didn't give it to me, so you can't take it. Ooh, we got some sassy Christians in the house. Let's go. Devil, you can't steal my joy. But how does he do it? How does he steal your joy? Because let's be real. I've let him steal my joy before. I've let the thief come and steal my joy. I'm no perfect man up here preaching to you. So how does he does it? Here's what I want to tell you. You know how he usually does it, River? He does it with the little things. The little things. Not always the big crisis. He does it with the little things. The things that she said that you got offended about. The things that he should have said, but he didn't say because men are dumb and they forget anniversaries. The things that people should have said. I can say it. I'm one of them, okay? It's not mean. 10 years in, I haven't forgot one. Pray for me. It's the little things. It's the little things that the devil will use. It's the little critiques that you didn't ask for. It's the little eye rolls that you caught that they didn't want you to see. You know what I'm talking about? It's the little things. Here's how he steals your joy: through this tool called offense. He wants and needs you offended. And in 2024, people, you just spend 3 minutes, you will find a way to get offended, I promise you. You just scroll 2 reels and you'll find a way to be offended. You just talk to 2 people, not your neighbors, they're great. You'll get offended. If you want offense, you can find it this year. Offense is an action. You can't stop it from happening. People are going to offend you, but to remain offended is a choice. You don't like this preaching. Get Tiff back up here. To remain offended is a choice, and the devil will steal your joy by keeping you offended. And here's how it works. How many know that you can get 99 compliments? You can have people saying the nicest things to you, but all it takes is one person to come up to you and say one thing that you did not want to hear, and you will stay up till 2 a.m. in your bed and let it brew and let it fester and make memes with their face on it that you're never going to post because you're Christian, of course, and you will just get so vexed and so angry. Who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? And you will sit offended, and guess where your joy went? Gone. And you know what you've done? You've let them win, right? Because that was their goal. The enemy is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're anything like me, and you're petty, any petty people in the room? Pettiness level? Max, that's me. You'll go to bed and you'll start thinking of all the comebacks that you wish you said to them when they said that thing to you. You know? Oh yeah, well, you stink. You didn't have anything good, so, you know, you just threw that out there. But then at night, you're like, man, I should have said this. I should have said that. And you're in your head going, man, if I see those people again, the thing I'm going to say. And then you see them again, and you're like, hi, how are you? How was your day? It's so good to see you. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen, sister. See, you're not bold out here, but you're petty in here. That's me. That's how I roll. And this is the devil's game. This is what he does. Happens to me all the time. I'll get up here and I'll preach to 2,000-3,000 people. I'll come out here after like I do every night. I'm usually the last person to leave the building. I love to talk to you. And I'll have 90 people come up and say, what a great word. Man, the Lord spoke to me. So many kind and nice things. And then one person will say one thing. And I will sit on that one thing. Y'all, this is a true story. A couple months ago, we had a great Tuesday night. It was like this, 3,000 people packed. 250 people accepted Jesus Christ in one night. That's a good night. I don't know about you. That's the best night. That's better than winning the lottery. That's better than anything else. That's the best night. And Wednesday, I'm doing what I often do. I go to my little coffee shop where I can hide to go work on my message for next week. And I'm minding my biz, hanging in the corner in the back. Got my AirPods on. My wife bought me the Maxes. They're really sweet. Give it up for my wife. 10 years. Beautiful girl. And I'm sitting there, and these two guys come in. And people coming into the coffee shop all the time, but one of them has a River t-shirt on. You know the free ones that we give you? Nobody ain't ever say thank you to me for that, but it's okay. It's not like I'm petty or anything. These two guys come in, and y'all, AirPods, this is not an Apple commercial, but AirPods are cool. They have a little button you can press called transparency mode. And it mutes the music and turns off the noise canceling. And you can hear every single word that everyone is saying around you. And they have no idea. They think you got Justin Bieber at level 100 going on in there. And you're hearing everything. So these guys come and they sit down behind me. They don't see me. They don't know who I am. And I see the River shirt. So I hit that transparency mode. And I start listening. Oh, maybe they'll talk about me. They'll talk about the River. Let me hear what they got to say. And I listened. And they said 10 nice things about the River. The guy with the shirt, the other guy hadn't gone, and he was telling him all about it, and he was so excited. He said 10 nice things. And then he said one thing. He said, except that pastor at the River, he said he gets too excited, and he's too intense, and he doesn't even use a podium. And the sweater he was wearing, you should have saw the sweater. I was like, bro. Come from my podium, that's fine. Come from my fashion, we're done. Give me that free t-shirt back right now. You ain't ever welcome back in this place. But thank God for the grace of Jesus Christ, I did not do that. I just listened and I sat there. man, I let that brew and fester, and it sounds silly, but I was thinking, man, do I get too excited up there? Am I too much? Is it too emotional? Do I need a podium that I stand behind and just bore these people into living for Christ? Is that what I need to do? Is that the way to do it? Church has been trying that for a long time. I'm like, well, should I change things? Should I do something? And do I dress right? I am letting this guy live rent-free in my head all night. For weeks, I'm thinking about it. I'm going through the comebacks, which all had to do with the shirt he was wearing. And I'm going through this, and I'm letting him distract me, and I'm letting this voice that I don't even know steal my joy. Such a small thing, so silly, until I heard the voice of God. It wasn't an audible voice. I didn't hear Morgan Freeman that night. That's a joke. I just imagine if I heard him speak, he would sound like Morgan Freeman. He's got the best voice of all time. But I heard that still small voice, the Holy Spirit. And he spoke to me. And he said to me, why do you care more about what that guy says than what I say? Why do you give him more volume than you give me? Maybe the Lord sent this slightly overweight 35-year-old white guy to come on this stage tonight and say to you, why do you give them more volume than your creator, than the one who made you, the one who saved you, the one who paid it all for you? You'll cry out, he's worthy of it all, until somebody offends you. And then you fixate on what they say, because I do it. Here's a question for you. Why do we allow the worst to have the most real estate and the best to have the least? The best being the voice of God and who he says you are and what he's called you to do. Why do we do it? It is a trick of the enemy to steal your joy. And he brought me to talk to you about it tonight. The worst of those voices, we let them come and be a thief. It's backwards, it's stupid, it's dumb, but it's the devil's dream. I can't tell you how many people I have counseled who have left a church and have church hurt, and I'm expecting a scandal and a pastor who slept with someone or some terrible thing, and it's something that someone said at church about the clothes they wore that day. It's small things that the devil will use to take you away from the big thing, the only thing that gives you peace, joy, and contentment, and that is a focus on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's the little things. And here's the thing, my friends, you're not gonna like this, but criticism is not always bad in your life. Do you wanna know the difference, the real difference between amateurs and professionals in anything? Sports, acting, the arts. Here's what the difference is between amateurs and professionals. Amateurs loathe criticism. They hate it. If someone critiques them, they view it as hate, and they shut it down. Professionals pay for criticism. Professionals want it. Give it to me. It's not about my feelings. It's about being better. What's the criticism? You know Tiger Woods, who was the best golfer in the world at the time, paid some guy who wasn't as good at golf as him to stand behind him and critique his swing for 6 hours a day? What could this guy tell Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods would beat him in a match any day. But he realized the value of being able to accept criticism without harboring offense. It's an art in 2024 that we have lost, my friends. But criticism is not always bad. But the devil loves to use it to steal our joy, to live rent-free in our head, throwing out the 99 great other things that people said. You don't play those back at 2 a.m. You only play back the one that was critical. So here's the thing. I want to show you something. I want to make it practical for you. Because, friends, here's the thing about the gospel. The gospel is not difficult. It's the application of the gospel in your life that is difficult. Amen. There's some sister with faith over there. The application is hard, so I want to show you something. Here's what we do. We all walk around all day, every day, with one of these. This is a magnifying glass. We all walk around with one of these, and we have a choice of where we put it. of what we magnify. And what most of us do all day, every day, is we find our problems, and we find the people that have become problems, and the things that those people have said, and we park our magnifying glass right there. And we magnify those problems. And we inspect them, and we think about them, and we fester and sit on them, and we magnify those problems until they look so much bigger than they actually are. You know, a magnifying glass doesn't increase the size of something in reality, but it does increase the size of something in your perception. See, if I went over to my dad, because I know I can do this because he's just gangster like this and he'll allow me. If I put this on his skin, I inspected the pores on his forehead. I go, whoa, those are big. You need a new skincare regimen, Mom. Hook a man up. It doesn't make them larger. It doesn't make them bigger in reality, but they look bigger to me. Here's what we do with our problems. We sit and we put this on them and we magnify them until they are so much larger. And friends, if you hear nothing else I say, what you choose to magnify in this life determines everything. Where you choose to put your focus will determine everything. David told us this in the book of Psalm, chapter 34, verse 1. It's coming on the screen. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, not sometimes, at all times. His praise shall be continuously on my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Did you hear it? Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Give it up for the Lord. That's the bridge of a pretty good song, Trust in God, Tiff. And here's the thing. I've read that verse 50 times in my life. And I heard magnify, and I thought it just meant sing and pray, all good things to do. But to magnify is a very specific thing. To magnify something means to make it larger from your perspective. David is saying, choose to magnify the Lord. Let his praise be on your lips. And here's the crazy thing. We laugh and cheer, and we're happy about what David says in Psalm 34. When David wrote Psalm 34, do you know where he was? He was hiding amongst the Philistines because he had become a fugitive in his own land. He was anointed king at 15 years old, but now he's a fugitive and Saul is trying to murder him. He can't be with the Israelites, so he's with the Philistines, their enemy. Remember the guy Goliath? Do you know what he was? A Philistine. You think David is very popular amongst Goliath's people? No, but he's safer there than he is in his own house. I wonder sometimes if that's our situation. We can't even be in our own home because the enemy has come in and stole our joy in our house. And then we start going places that we shouldn't be and meeting people and being with people that we know aren't good for us. David had to hide with the Philistines. This is not a healthy place. He's got big problems, my friend. This is not he couldn't get Taylor Swift tickets last week. If that's your biggest problem, I envy you. In fact, I don't because I'll never go to a Taylor Swift concert. But nonetheless, he had real concerts. Don't clap. The Swifties are going to get me. Tiffany, Taylor Swift just had six nights of, she took over Toronto for the last week, just so you're in the loop. He's got real problems, big problems, yet he still chooses to magnify the Lord. But what do we do? I want to ask you truthfully, what do you do when the storm kicks up? What do you do when what he said hurt you? When what she said hurt you? Do you choose to magnify the Lord in that moment? Or do we rewrite the psalm? Do we make it like this? Oh, come, let us magnify our offenses together. Let them be continuously on our lips. Oh, magnify the problem with me. Let us exalt it together. Anybody have a friend like that? You know, you meet him and you're like, how are you? Oh, you wouldn't believe what she did. I was just asking how you are. You're supposed to say great and move on. If you have a friend like that, you got to get a new one. Because it's exhausting to live life that way. But truthfully, River, this is what we do. We magnify our problems, and it's a serious problem. Because of this, it's the enemy's trick. He knows a little something, and I have a specific assignment in the few moments left I have with you. It's to let you know it too. He knows a trick when it comes to what you choose to magnify. He knows, bear with me, he knows a little trick about magnification. He knows that if he can get a little thing to make you upset and then convince you to magnify that little thing for long enough and to fix your focus on it and to obsess over it and to be petty and to stay offended, he knows that that little thing will start to heat up and it'll get hotter and hotter and hotter. Do you know what happens when you leave a magnifying glass with a strong light source over something for long enough? You know what happens? You set a fire. He knows if he can get you to magnify the little things long enough that you will set a fire. Fire, my friends, is dangerous. Fire cannot be contained. Fire cannot be controlled. Fire has a way of consuming. So he gets you to take the little thing and park your focus on it until it becomes a big thing. And then the fire starts to burn up all the promises that God has on your life and all the great things that God gave you to enjoy. Yes, you got a problem, but you got 99 blessings. And what he does is this. He gets you to focus on it. Why? Because the devil has no power to stop the promises of God on your life. It's a fact. It's in the word. He has no power to do it. So here's what he does. He's got to get you to do it. So he's got to get you to magnify that little thing until you let it blow up. And now you start treating your kids wrong and your husband wrong and your wife wrong and your class wrong and your friends because you are so mad and there is no joy left. This is the trick of the devil. It's the worst part. That when that fire ignites, it spreads. But here's the trick that I came to tell you. You knew that already. This is not a practice that is saved only for magnifying your problems. The Lord knows this trick too. He knows that if you will fix your focus and you will magnify him in the middle of your depression, in the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of the bad diagnosis, in the middle of your pain, in your grief, in your loss, and your suffering, when the devil wants you to magnify everything else, the Lord knows. David knew, if you will magnify the Lord, he will set a fire. And here's the thing. It's an all-consuming fire. It's a fire that can't be contained and can't be controlled, but it doesn't destroy you. It destroys fear. It destroys anxiety. It destroys depression. It destroys the sinful desires, the flesh, the addiction. But only if you will magnify him. David's not saying clap your hands for the Lord. He's saying when it's hard, fix your focus on him. When Saul's trying to kill you and it's not fair and you were promised to be king and when they said that about you and when they left you and when they abandoned you, fix your focus to where your help comes from and watch a fire be set. God is an all-consuming fire. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Hebrews says he's an all-consuming fire. Set him on fire, magnify him, and watch what he will do. He's a jealous God, and he's a holy God. You start a fire with him in your life, and everything unholy will start to get ignited and burnt up and breeze away when you magnify the name of the Lord. But look, God's not a jealous God in the way that I'm jealous. My jealousy is rooted in my insecurity. God is not insecure. God is jealous because he knows that he is what you need and he is what is best for you. And here's what we do in 2024. We almost make an idol out of our problems. What's an idol? An idol is anything that takes more deference and attention than God. Anything that we think about and magnify more than the Lord is an idol in our life. So the enemy knows, if I can get you to make an idol out of offense and out of hurt and out of the things that they did in that church and what they said to you, then you can leave the church and not hear the word of God anymore or worship him on Sundays, and now he's got you. He's got many paths, but only one trick. He can't destroy your promise. He can only make you burn it up. So we have a choice. We can magnify the Lord, or we can magnify the problem. And the Lord is saying to you tonight, put this back on me. I know you're hurting. I know you're in it. I know you don't know why. But you have a choice to choose what you magnify. And if you will magnify the Lord, my friends, he becomes an all-consuming fire. Amen. So our job tonight, our assignment, is to set a fire. Not a literal fire, but a fire in our soul. One that can't be contained, one that can't be controlled. One that is desperate for more of God. It's why the title of this message was Set a Fire. I don't want you to leave here tonight and go, wow, the river was so impressive. Wow, Tiffany was so amazing. She is. But I want you to leave tonight with a fire set deep down in your soul of the holiness of God that purifies and refines. That's our job tonight. And if you do it, my friends, I tell you, there's an old hymn that said it this way. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Those fires in your life that you're trying to put out right now, set a bigger fire. Set a better fire. Set a fire that changes everything. And those mighty flames that you thought were going to consume you will grow strangely dim in the light of your Lord and his masterful ways. That's our assignment. So you have a choice. Magnify our fear, magnify our offense, or magnify our Lord. Don't let the enemy come steal, kill, and destroy anymore. Magnify the one that came to save you, that made you and didn't leave you, that shed his wonderful blood on the cross for the remission of my sin and yours. Worship team, y'all can get ready. We're almost done. That's the choice that we have tonight. So stand up on your feet. Please stand up. And we got a lot more worship. But don't just listen. Don't even just sing. You know, even the evil one can sing. Lucifer was a worship leader, no offense. It doesn't take great faith to sing. But what does take great faith is to choose to magnify him when you don't want to. When the devil's telling you to magnify everything else. So tonight I want you to stop letting the enemy live rent-free in your head. You know how much rent costs in Toronto and you've been letting him live rent-free? A basement apartment is $3,000, baby. If he's gonna be there, you better make him pay. So tonight is a way that you can make him pay. You can fix your focus on your Father. You can magnify him, because I promise you, it might take a little while. I might be here not for one song. I might be here not for two songs. I might be here for 1 week, not 2 weeks, but eventually, if I magnify long enough, a fire will set. And that fire is a holy fire, a consuming fire. So look, Christians, I'm not trying to gloss over what they did to you, what they said to you. I know it was wrong. I know it was unfair. I know it hurt. I'm not trying to minimize it. What they said to you was wrong. But what God has said to you is so much more powerful. They call you abandoned. God calls you found. They say you're not good enough, that you can never make it, that you don't have what it takes, that you're good for nothing, because they want to steal, they want to kill, they want to destroy. But God calls you son and calls you daughter. God gives you a title that is not contingent upon your performance. The devil wants you to think it's all about what you did and what you will do. It has nothing to do with you. Get over yourself. It has everything to do with the one who gave it all for you. And he calls you son. He calls you daughter. He chose you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. So tonight I want you to set a fire of faith deep down in your soul. Don't just sing the words, believe the words. Magnify him tonight. Set a fire that can't be contained. Set a fire that can't be controlled. And watch the things of this world grow strangely dim. I want more.